Leadership development has typically been what I call an in-between the ears experience, an intellectual experience. And what I do is I completely integrate well-being into leadership coaching and development so that it's truly a full body leadership experience. I believe we've kind of missed the boat in not coaching the full body. So we integrate all aspects of well-being, mind, body, heart, and spirit into how we coach in leadership.
That was Jamie Shapiro, and you're listening to episode 180 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast, where we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset.
The courage to face fears with persistence.
Being able to be present enough in this moment to choose my response thoughtfully.
We have the strength to bend to life stressors, to bend to adversity without snapping, without breaking.
There are only six things that contribute to our quality of life, and they are all experiences.
In every moment, we are deciding who we want to be and how we want to live our lives.
Noticing what your brain is doing and then being able to make choices.
Mobilize the things that we know lift us up.
Hey friends, welcome back to the Building Psychological Strength podcast. My name is April and I'm your host. Thanks for being here. For real. Thank you so much for being here. You know, as I think back, you know, across everything that we've gone through in the last few months, doing this podcast was literally a sense of normalcy for me that I needed. And talking to all of you, even though we weren't face to face, and even though I don't ever get to see you guys, getting to talk to you guys and getting to talk to these amazing guests like this week's guest, who I'll get to in a moment, getting to talk to these incredible people was just such a source of comfort and stability for me. So thank you so much for being just even a small part of that. You have no idea how much that means. Really quick, before we jump into this week's episode and I tell you all of the fabulous things that we talk about this week, I want to ask you a quick question. Are you in the starter pack yet? The starter pack is our absolutely free module that we have on our Peak Mind website. If you go to peakmindpsychology.com/start, you can get enrolled. And there are so many amazing tools and audio files and video files and all of this incredible stuff inside the starter pack that I want to make sure that you know about it. And I want to make sure that you are signed up if you're interested at all in starting to build psychological strength for yourself. This is a free way to do it. And it's an easy way to get started. So I want to make sure that I let you guys know peakmindpsychology.com/start. It's free to sign up. You can go through any of the modules that are in there. We're constantly replacing them and constantly updating them. So if you're not in there yet, now's the time. Sign up. We'd love to see you. And it's the best way to connect with us because you can leave us comments. You can ask us for things. You can say, hey, it'd be awesome if you dig into this particular topic. That's how we decide what we're going to do next, is based on what our community, all of you, based on what all of you ask us for and what you want and what you need. So I'd love to see you in the starter pack, peakmindpsychology.com/start. Can't wait to see you there. All right, this week's episode, you're going to love this one. Oh, you're going to love this one. Have you ever thought about the role that you play in the complex web that is your life? Think about the role that you play in your family. Think about the role that you play at work. Think about the role that you play in your group of friends, in any other of the responsibilities that you have on your plate. Think about the role that you play in all of those. Now, think about that collectively. It's like you are this sun with all of these little responsibility planets orbiting around you, right? You're the linchpin in this whole operation. You're the center of it that's holding it all together. Something that I read recently that totally resonated with me, that made me think of a lot of you, because I hear from you, and I hear how amazing you are, is that you are the asset in this equation. You're the asset, meaning you are one of the most important pieces of this entire balanced ecosystem that you've got going on with all of these competing responsibilities. You are the asset. You're the linchpin holding it together. And because of that, it's incredibly important that you are okay and that you're taking care of yourself. Now, I'm not going to launch into some discussion about self-care necessarily right now. We do get at that a bit in this episode, but more so, I want you to think about the critical nature of some of the things that you do to take care of yourself. And I'm talking like basics, what you feed yourself. Are you drinking water? Are you getting enough sleep? Do you feel worthy of doing those things on a daily basis? Or do you feel like they're a little bit indulgent or maybe not necessary? Like, oh, I can get by on less sleep. Those are the kinds of things that we're talking about this week with our guest. This week, we are speaking to a woman named Jamie Shapiro. She is the founder of Connected EC, and she is an executive leadership coach and a master nutritionist. Now, think about those two things together. We're talking about somebody who is, and you can hear it in the way that she talks. She's just an expert in, you know, motivation and getting people to show up as their best self and psychology and all of that stuff that you need to know to be a really top-notch executive coach. So she's got that side of the coin, but then she's got this incredible depth of knowledge in nutrition. Now, what the heck do those two things have to do with each other, right? Think about the connection between how you feel in a day and how you're physically taking care of yourself. There's a huge connection there. And a lot of the times, and in this episode too, we talk a lot about some of the psychological things that you can do to show up on top of your game. But even more so in this episode, we take a really balanced approach. We take a balanced approach at what you can do to fully support yourself as a whole human being, both mentally and physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It's such a good conversation. So a little bit of background on Jamie. Jamie's been coaching and developing high-performing teams since 1998, and it was her interest in the intersection of wellness and leadership. It grew out of her own experience because she's been an executive at large-scale IT companies for a lot of her career. She's done it all, and a lot of the things that you all are doing. She's managed teams, she's faced so much pressure, and she has been seeking out that elusive work-life balance that we all hear is out there and have such a hard time finding. Jamie founded Connected EC because she believes that there's a need for a new, healthier breed of leader who can create organizations where people burn bright and go the distance. And I love this part, without burning out. How important is that? Her approach to nutrition is really simple, and you'll hear about it in this episode. Eat nutrient-dense food. Make sure that it's working for your own body, your unique body, and make sure that it's easy and delicious. She loves giving people the support and guidance to help develop a personalized diet. And as an executive coach, she helps people by focusing on leaders and helping them develop their awareness of how both their health and their mindset impact their leadership performance. This is a holistic, value-packed episode, you guys. And as I was speaking with Jamie before we hopped on to record, so many of you who reach out to me popped up into my mind. Those of you who are juggling so much, searching for balance, wanting to show up in the best possible way, being used to being a high achiever and knowing that you're balancing so much right now. This episode is for you. This is my salute to all of you who are killing it on a day-to-day basis and deserve to support yourself in the same way that you're supporting everyone else around you. I am so excited and so delighted to feature Jamie on this episode, and I can't wait for you to hear it. All right, let's roll that conversation. Jamie, I am so excited about this episode because the work you do is something that every busy, professional,
but desires to show up and do a good job but still be sane type of person needs to know about. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
All right. So I kind of gave like a little bit of the punchline away, but can you tell us, give us like the Cliff Notes version of the work that you do, because it's really going to resonate with a lot of the folks that listen to this show.
Thank you. Yes. So I am a leadership development coach. I specialize in big organizations with top leadership, and I have a very different approach to leadership development. Leadership development has typically been what I call an in-between the ears experience, an intellectual experience. And what I do is I completely integrate well-being into leadership coaching and development so that it's truly a full body leadership experience. I believe we've kind of missed the boat in not coaching the full body. So we integrate all aspects of well-being, mind, body, heart, and spirit into how we coach in leadership.
That's amazing, because if you think about, I'm just going to get nerdy right out of the bat. We're just going to go right into the deep end and just go there.
Yes, please.
If you think about, so even some of the most basic think positive psychology models, like the PERMA model, there are multiple factors that are not just everyone should feel good or, you know, the really basic surface level things that lead to a sense of well-being. It's things like meaning, which can be really gritty and hard sometimes and lead to decreased happiness at times. You know, if you have kids, you know what that's like. Meaning and achievement and being in a state of flow and all of these other aspects that come together to form the whole of what it means to be psychologically well. And I love that you're taking that holistic approach, because you lose something if you don't keep all of that in mind.
Absolutely. And that's what I found with my own experience. So I'm a former IT executive, and I loved the field of executive coaching, and it was so helpful, but it was missing some really important elements in how I was taking care of my full self. And we talked a lot about communication and strategy and team development, but not about how was I managing stress and what was it like to be on the road all the time and how was I fueling my body and how were my relationships. It missed that. And that was a huge piece of the puzzle that was missing for me in order to be at my best and to lead from a really, really strong, resilient place. So I left corporate America on a mission to change how we talk about leadership and how we coach within business today.
I love that you said you made note of taking care of yourself. Something that I talk to people about a lot is that, especially people who are playing a critical role within their career, whatever that means, let's be broad, a critical role within their career, a critical role within their family or their home environment, and maybe other environments as well. They're juggling a lot. What they don't realize, and what I think we neglect to give enough attention to, is the fact that in a lot of cases, that person is the linchpin in the whole operation. That person is that entire ecosystem's biggest asset. And if that person as the asset is not protected, the whole system does not operate well. Maybe it won't fall apart, but it won't operate well. Can you talk a little bit about how you talk to people about the importance of that? Because that's tough to get across to people sometimes.
It is so tough. And I know that I heard a lot of messages around that all throughout my career. Jamie, you need to have more work-life balance. And now I know the term is work-life integration. And I was so confused. I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know where I signed up for that class, but it didn't happen for me. And here's what I think we oftentimes think about. We think about time and we think about that limited resource. And how I work with my clients is I talk about a renewable resource, which is our energy. And it is so essential and the foundation of our leadership, personally and professionally, that we fill ourselves up, that we replenish our energy, and we need to replenish it in all aspects of our life in order to be able to give. You cannot serve from an empty vessel, but especially as women, we give and we give and we give, and we get so depleted in the process. And then unfortunately, we get into cycles of self-abuse around that, because then we're exhausted and we're depleted and we can't give anymore. And that starts another vicious circle where we're increasing our stress, we're increasing our negative self-talk. So the way that I think about how do you really take care of that asset, how do you really take care of self, is that foundationally, to be at our best, we need to pour back into this renewable asset of energy. And so when I'm working with clients, that's one of the first places I start, is what fills you up. It looks different for every one of us. What fills my body up with energy is different from someone else. What fills my mind intellectually with energy is different. And so I think it's really important that we look at that for ourselves and say, what are all the things that replenish me, and how do I care for that and work that every single day so I have the capacity to give at the level that I want to give?
Something that we talk about a lot within Peak Mind. So Peak Mind really combines two pretty powerful fields. So psychology is the, you know, the obvious one, but a lot of the work we do falls in the realm of something that we call life design. So it's taking a human-centered design approach to helping people figure out barriers and issues in their life. And self-care is one that it is a soapbox that I will get on and scream from every day of my life if I have to. Because what I find happens, and I'm so curious for your reaction to this, what I find happens is that, you know, women especially, but people, we get frazzled, right? We push ourselves to the edge. We deplete ourselves completely. Like, we are go, 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 juggle, juggle, juggle. We get to the point where we're about to break and we're like, I can't handle this. I need some self-care. So we immediately go to, almost like in a default way, we go to the images that we see on Instagram. Like, I think I should do yoga and journal in my journal. And I'm like, well, maybe if that's what helps you. But if it isn't, you're like adding another activity to your day that's not doing anything for you. Like, I'm going to start shouting now because I get all, you know, emotional about this. But what you're talking about is saying, let's get to know you uniquely and what fills your energy up. So can you talk about some of those aspects of us as individuals that might vary, right? One person might be on one end of the continuum and another one on the other, and you would suggest very different things for those people. Like, what are some of those aspects?
So I like to think about it in four categories. I like everyone to break energy down to what fills you up, your body physically, what fills you up intellectually, the mind, and then heart, emotionally, and spirit. And people ask me about spirit all the time, and they ask, oh, are you talking about religion? Are you talking about spirituality? And my answer is maybe. What connects you to something greater than yourself? Maybe it's community, being outside. Maybe it is religion. Maybe it is spirituality. But I ask people to think about those four categories and to really list as many things as they can think about that fill them up. And it can be things they're doing right now, things they've never done, things they haven't done since they were a kid, but just brainstorm. Give yourself permission to write everything down. And then take a look at that list and ask yourself, what's one small step? I really believe in creating healthy long-term habits, but people often, as you said, they get completely depleted and then they decide to start lots of habits all at once. So they say, oh, well, I'm going to go to yoga and then I'm going to eat healthy and I'm going to drink a smoothie and then I'm going to do this. And they try to turn their life upside down, and that doesn't work. Our brains change one small step at a time. And so if we can be really intentional about looking at all these things that fill us up, and saying, what's one small thing that I can do that I know brings me joy, that I know brings me energy, and start small, that's where I think we can really create transformation one small step at a time. But the mistake I see is we get depleted and then we try and do everything all at once. And sometimes we try and do things that we think we should do, that should voice, instead of things that we know really energize and fuel us.
Absolutely. And that gets into some of those defaults, right? Like, I'm supposed to do the things that look pretty on Instagram posts, and that's what self-care looks like, but it doesn't. And I love this full stack approach that you're talking about, going from basic physical needs that we have. We don't, I mean, it would be a miracle if everyone could just recognize that at your core, you are a human being animal that requires certain things. It requires food, water, sleep, cleanliness, shelter, like basic needs that, I mean, if somebody was feeling emotional and frazzled and out of control, those are some of the basic things that, like, when was the last time you drank a glass of water? Like,
I know.
Just drank a glass of water. When was the last time you ate a fully, like, a meal with, you know, a protein, a fat, some, like, healthy carbs, some, like, really basic components to it? We don't give enough credit. And this hits your other four as well. We don't give enough credit to the fact that we are human beings who are animals at our core that just have basic requirements.
Yes. And I cannot tell you how many people come to me sleep deprived and dehydrated. And those are two things that when you change that, it changes everything. It changes your energy, your focus, your engagement, your creativity. Because when you're chronically dehydrated and exhausted, you as a human being cannot perform at your best. You do not have enough capacity to give at the level you want to give. And so these basic things, you are so right, April, we have to refocus on them. And we have to recognize the impact that the food we put into our body, the way we nourish this physical being, has everything to do with our mental health. And it's been largely disconnected for a long time now. And I really, really deeply believe we have to reconnect the mind and the body again and recognize the impact our physical body has when it's well and nourished on our mental capacity.
It's funny because there's an example that I like to give people that I think is particularly hit you in the face a little bit. If you think about somebody like Michael Phelps, I would encourage everyone to Google, what is Michael Phelps' race day, his morning routine? Mm-hmm. Look at how specific it is. Look at how many aspects of the things that you just talked about, physical, intellectual, emotional, spiritual, look at how many of those things he hits that morning. Now, he's been doing that, or had been, you know, when he was in his professional swimming career, he had been doing that for a decade or more. If Michael Phelps, the most decorated athlete of all time, cannot perform at the level that he wants to without those basic things, what makes you think you can? Right? Like, with his level of talent and ability, he will not allow one of those things to go unfulfilled because he knows, like, the second he does, his performance will take a dive. He recognizes that. What makes us think we're better than Michael Phelps, right?
So it is so true. And one of the things that I point to that Michael does all the time is visualization.
Yes, so good.
I believe so much in the power of visualization and connecting to that future self, that part of you that knows what's possible when you do all of these things that we're talking about for yourself. And I think sometimes we're in battle with our short-term self and our long-term self, and we don't connect enough to what's possible and our vision for self. We get really stuck in the short-term and that immediate gratification. And I know that happened to me over and over again in my former career. And so one of the things I do with clients is I have them visualize what's possible and really thinking about that future self and allowing yourself to think about what could be possible if you started in the short term taking care of your full self.
It's funny because so my background, my training in psychology is in social cognitive psychology. And cognitive psych is a pretty, think as close to neurology as you can get without being neuro. It's very black and white. There's very little woo about it. It's pretty tangible, grounded. And I say this because what I'm about to say is to, this is a message to the skeptics in the back. Like one more time for the skeptics in the back, because I'm you. I'm in a field that is for skeptics. Cognitive psychology shows us, detailed data shows us that our brains and our minds are exceptionally good at looking for something. They can goal seek really well. They are exceptionally bad at looking at something without a discernible goal. I'll give you a tangible example. And I've said this before. So like people who have listened to me for a while and are on this board or on this bus with me already, just hang on for a second. The example that I like to give is at the zoo. You go to the zoo and you're standing in front of a habitat and there's vines and trees and rocks and water and like all this stuff, right? It's this habitat. And you're looking for this animal whose name you don't recognize. It's this crazy species name that you have no idea what animal is in this habitat. And if I just told you the name of the animal and said, find it, it would take you quite a long time to locate the animal amidst all the rest of the stuff because you don't know what you're looking for. You're just looking at this habitat. Now, zoos are smarter than that. Right next to every habitat is the name of the species and maybe a bunch of information about it, but then a photo of that animal. So now you know what you're looking for. You know, is it a lizard type thing with scales? Is it likely to be in the water? Is it furry? Is it big? Is it small? Does it fly? Like, we're much better at looking for things. Our brains can goal seek. They're also very good at looking for something and looking for the related, say, information or stimuli that are related to that thing. So if you give your brain a very clear picture of the type of person or the type of goal you're looking for, isn't that funny that all of the sudden you start meeting people who have that ability? You start seeing examples of posts that people you don't know and maybe you want to reach out to, holy cow, on LinkedIn that are related to this goal. It's because they were there before. You just scrolled right past them because you didn't have a clear enough goal in your mind to give it something to look for. Now, there may be other mechanisms through which this works, but for the skeptics in the back, I'm telling you, there is like hard neuro data that shows that this is one mechanism through which these visualizations and goal setting works. I'll pause for a second. I just talked a lot.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's so powerful and it's so true. And I think people are sometimes surprised when I start there, when I say we are really going to spend some time envisioning who you want to be, what's possible. And then we build all of our goals around that vision. And the amazing thing, as you're talking about, is when we put our goals out there, when we really understand what we're working towards, it's magic. I mean, yes, it's neuroscience too, but it also feels like magic at times because when we put that goal in front of us, we just naturally have a way of working towards it. But so much of the time, we don't actually set goals for ourselves. We set goals for our business. We set goals financially. But when do we say, these are the goals that I want for me? And over this next year, this is what I'm working towards. And there is a lot of power in that. Just putting that out, creating the intention, and working towards something that really matters in your life.
Absolutely agree. Folks who are listening to this, I'm just going to give a quick disclaimer right now. You probably know that I have two very young kids. We are taping this still during the shelter in place time of COVID, and my kids are in a bounce house right now. So you're going to hear some screaming. I promise nobody is being murdered in the background, but we are just recording in the time that we are. And so if you hear little kids shrieking, that's what it is. And we're just going to roll with it because that's just where we're at right now.
I have kids too. And I have to tell you, I was on a call yesterday and I kid you not, my 10-year-old son was upstairs. I'm pretty sure recording a music video.
That's so awesome.
Rapping. I'm like, this is wonderful.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. One direction that I want to make sure that we don't miss, because we've got this opportunity that you have training in both, you know, coaching and executive leadership and these psych related things, but also in nutrition. You started to talk about the gut brain connection. Can you dive in there a little bit? Because that is only an area that is beginning to be understood and getting the recognition that it deserves.
Yes. And we're in the infancy of this research, really understanding the gut-brain connection. But what we know is that so many of our hormones, including serotonin, are primarily developed in the gut. Having a healthy gut is essential to having a healthy mind. And we used to think about those things as completely separate. We did not connect the dots between what we put in our body from a nutrition standpoint and what we thought and how we felt mentally. And now all the research is showing, oh no, they are completely connected. And if we want to be at our peak in mental health, we have to take care of ourselves nutritionally. And that means, as you pointed out, getting the right combination of macronutrients, making sure that you're getting protein, carbohydrates, and fat, but also making sure that we're getting the micronutrients we need, the minerals and the vitamins each and every day, because our gut bacteria and that being healthy matters to our brain being healthy. And so there was this huge disconnect, in my opinion, between leadership and nutrition. When I left corporate America and went back to school for both nutrition and for executive coaching, I have to tell you, the world looked at me sideways. People, even my greatest mentors, asked me, what are you doing? What profession are you going into? It doesn't make sense. Are you going to be a nutritionist? Are you going to be a leadership coach? I don't get it. And to me, they are completely integrated. The fuel that we put into our body that creates the energy, that creates the capacity, that creates our mental health has everything to do with how we lead and how we show up. And I firmly believe that if we want to be at our best in all aspects of our life, we need to pay greater attention to what we're fueling our bodies with.
I'm wondering if you can give us just a few steps on how to get started, because all of this, and I mean, feel free to hit any of the four areas that you've touched on, because they're all so critical and important. But, you know, I think this is something that it's probably another one of those things on a very busy, wants to be a high achieving and desperately wants to show up as their best self type person's list, but it may feel too big to tackle. Are there specific, say, jumpstart things that somebody could do to start making meaningful improvements in? I'll leave it open to you to decide which areas you want to focus on, but things that people can do to at least take the first step. You know, you talked about making small incremental changes. What are a few small things that we can do that'll get us going in the right direction?
So I'll just tell you a couple of my absolute top ones. We've already talked about one of them, and that's hydration. The human body has millions upon millions of chemical reactions that are happening throughout the entire body every single second, and they all require water to be reactive. So what I really encourage people to do is start hydrating. Hydration is so, so essential. And people will ask me, okay, well, how much water should I be drinking? And so I like to give like just a general guideline. Take your body weight and divide it in half. That's a baseline for how many ounces of water you should be drinking. And then you'll need to add to that if you're not feeling well, if you're out in the hot sun, if you're working out there, but you need to add to it slowly. So let's say you just did that calculation in your head and you should be at 80 ounces and you're at 20 right now. I don't want you to go drink 80 ounces tomorrow because you will be in the bathroom swearing at me. So you have to, your body takes time to adapt. And so you want to increase your water intake about 8 ounces every 5 to 7 days so that the body has time to rebalance itself and so that you're not just using the bathroom all the time. And the second thing that I think is really, really important is recognizing that you are your wisest self. We spent thousands of years as a species understanding our bodies and knowing what we should be eating because we tapped into how we felt, what was our energy. And I think right now in our society, we are relying on external people to tell us what to eat and how to eat. And I believe the wisdom is in each of us. We're all biochemically different. So a nutrition protocol that works for you does not necessarily work for me. And so we need to start thinking about ourselves as our own wisest self and our own wisest expert of our bodies and start listening to us internally versus looking externally for all of these quick fixes. And in order to do that, I tell people you need to become a qualitarian, meaning we need to eat food, not food-like substances. So really understanding the ingredients that you're putting into your body and thinking more simply and staying away from some of these processed foods that are being sold to us as healthy and really starting to read ingredients again and asking, do I know what that ingredient is? And if I do, can I eat it? Does it feel good when I eat it? So that those are probably my top two. And then the other thing that we've also touched on is sleep. Sleep is so essential. 98% of the population needs 7 to 8 hours of sleep. And I will tell you about 50% of the people I work with believe they're in the 2% that don't need all that sleep. And it's just not true. So we are really, really exhausted as a society. And I am hopeful that people are thinking about how sleep is not only a replenisher from an energy standpoint, but for the brain, for the immune system, for muscle recovery. Sleep is a very fundamental piece that I believe is broken in this country.
On that last note, just for folks who are like, okay, that's adorable. Like, okay, this is, yeah, I can get more sleep. Something that I want to plug for that. I have 2 young kids. I've mentioned that already. I have a 4-year-old and almost 2-year-old. One thing that I will say probably to a 90 to 95% degree that I've got dialed in is my sleep schedule. And there were key things that helped me do that. And one of them, people talk about sleep hygiene all the time. I am telling you, it is a miracle. Specifically, if you get to the point, and this will take a while, it'll take a number of weeks for this to happen. If you go to bed and get up at the exact same time every day, not weekdays, not sleeping in on the weekend. I'm telling you, I go to bed at 9:30 or 10. I get up at 5 or 5:30 every day, all of them. And that doesn't have to be the times for you, like at all. Those are just my times. But what you'll find is I wake up now. I wake up before my alarm goes off, like right at about a couple of minutes before my alarm's going to go off. I wake up every morning and I'm awake. And at about 9:30 or 10, I go comatose. Like, it is not easy for me to stay awake at that point. I no longer have to try to go to sleep or try to relax or do anything at all to make myself relax. And I would have never said that those two small things, go to bed and get up at the exact same time. There are other sleep hygiene things as well, but that those two things could be as powerful as they are. But I'm telling you, I become narcoleptic at 9:30 or 10 p.m. and just pop out of bed only because this has been something that I've done for so long and it is daily without question. Yes. It's amazing.
I'm right there with you. And I do ask people, because I do work with so many people who are chronically exhausted, We look at a lot of different things. We look at what's going on with their sleep routine, right? We both have kids. We spend so much time getting kids ready for bed, right? We say, okay, it's an hour until bedtime. We're going to take a bath and then we're going to read a book. And we intentionally wind down their nervous system. But as adults, we don't do that for ourselves. So I completely agree with going to bed at the same time and getting up at the same time. And I encourage people to think about how are you winding down at night and calming your nervous system. I work with a lot of people who are still on email, firing off that last message, close their computer, and then try and go to sleep and wonder, why can't I fall asleep easily? Well, unfortunately, your brain is still going. Your nervous system is still in the sympathetic mode and you're going. We've got to really intentionally get into that rest mode.
Absolutely agree. Could not agree more. I love those tips. They're so practical and actionable. And even if you just pick one, right? Like even if you just decide, I'm going to drink some water today and I'm going to work on that one and then ease into some of these other ones, man, are you going in the right direction? And you'll start to see improvements and changes in just your day-to-day experience.
Absolutely.
I'm wondering, can you, I would love to hear what psychological strength means to you. I would love to hear your perspective on what it looks like to be psychologically strong now that we've gone through such a holistic way of viewing this.
So to me, being psychologically strong means being a master of your own mind. I think for the longest time, I believed I was a victim of my own mind, that I didn't have control, that I didn't have choice. And what I have learned through my work and through my life is that we are at choice. We get to choose what our environment in our mind is like, and we get to choose every day what thoughts we give energy to, what thoughts we repeat. We can be intentional about that. And to me, when I learned that I was a master of my own mind and through taking care of everything we talked about today, and I'm a big believer in meditation as well, and I meditate every day, those things have allowed me to observe and to not get hooked into thoughts that don't serve me, but just to observe them and be aware of them, but let them go and not put a lot of energy into them, but put energy into things like who I want to be and what is my future self. Like we talked about that visualization. What are my goals? How do I continually put energy into the thoughts that serve me and my best self versus take away from my best self? So that is probably for me, the thing that builds resiliency the most is recognizing when we move into cycles of rumination and stress and how to move out of that and into choice around our thoughts.
I am cheering over here because that is literally why we say your mind can be your most valuable asset or your biggest barrier and you get to choose because you do have the ability to put some of these practices in place. Mindfulness and meditation is one amazing one. Put some practices in place that sort of steer the Titanic. It won't be overnight. It won't be immediate, but steer the Titanic in a better direction where it's moving for you, not against you. I love that so much. Jamie, you have an amazing book that I would love for my audience to know about. I would love for you to tell us where we can connect with you more because so much of what you've talked about resonates so well with those of us who, you know, have everything on our plate and are trying to and really, really want to show up and do well in all of those areas. So I'm hoping you can tell us a little bit about where to find you and about your book.
Oh, thank you. Well, my book is called Brilliant, and it is all about shining brightly versus burning out. And the reason I chose the word brilliant is a lot of us think about brilliance as intellectual, but when I talk about brilliance, I'm talking about energetic and how do we shine energetically at our best. And it is everything we've talked about today. And you can find the book and you can find me at Connected EC. So EC like executive coaching. So connectedec.com. And you'll see a link to the book there. And then also I have a ton of free resources out there for download, that energy worksheet that we talked about, that mind, body, heart, and spirit. just having a worksheet to brainstorm on, that's out there as well. So, and a guided visualization is out there. So please check it out and just check out the free resources on that website.
Thank you so much for that. And thank you so much for being here and taking such a holistic approach to well-being that helps support us both physically and mentally. We mentioned it at the beginning of our conversation, but we don't give enough credit to the fact that as just human being animals, we have basic needs, and instead we neglect those needs and then beat ourselves up because we don't show up in the way that we want to. And you've given us such great resources and value about how we can make sure that we are pouring into, you know, those areas where we absolutely need that support and need that nourishment, broadly defined, so that we can show up as the people we want to. So thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
April, thank you for having me. It has been a complete joy talking with you, and just appreciate the work you're doing in the world so deeply.
It's a simple fact that nearly everyone in the world could benefit from building psychological strength, but not everyone will put in the time and effort to do so. But today you did. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Building Psychological Strength. Now, if you're interested in building the mental toughness, confidence, and resilience you need to thrive through life's ups and downs, visit us at www.peakmindpsychology.com. Also, if there's someone in your life who could benefit from this episode, please share it with them. And if you yourself found this episode valuable, meaning if you took away even one insight that you can use to build psychological strength in your own life, we would so appreciate it if you would drop us a rating and a review on iTunes. The thing is, the more ratings and reviews we have, the easier it is to get this powerful and important content out to the people who need to hear it. Remember, your mind can be your most valuable asset or your biggest liability, and you get to choose. So choose wisely, my friend, and I'll see you next time on Building Psychological Strength.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.